From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The Ides of March are come, soothsayer, I, Caesar, but not gone. So we'll see what happens. It's Canada Friday here. I'm coming to you live from narco territory, Mexico. And we'll have the Grammerica dudes joining us first hour. And then Gabriel of Libre Solutions, who's also up there somewhere in Canada, FEMA Region 11, as I like to call it, of the Canadian sector of the North American Union. So Mexico news here. Criminal groups in Mexico are forcibly recruiting youths by posting false job advertisements, reported the Attorney Generals of Sonora State. Youths seeking agricultural jobs in other states are kidnapped and turned into foot soldiers. Welcome to my neighborhood. And I actually found that this was in the local news. Here it says basically a police commander has been, prosecuted for kidnapping people. So in Mexico, the police don't protect you from kidnappers. They kidnap you. So, well, you know, at least it's the good news that they have prosecuted him. And so we have one less police kidnapper off on the streets. And this is interesting news. Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer films. There's reports that he's thinking of doing a remake of Patrick McGoohan's The Prisoner TV show. One of my absolute favorite TV series of all time. I've actually got McGoohan's biography right behind me. And this could go either way, I guess. It could be really amazing or it could amazingly suck. They did the remake with Jim Caviezel, which was absolutely horrible, in my opinion. The original still is the best. And so we'll see what happens with The Prisoner. We've also got Daily Clown World news. Python farming, like Python in terms of snake, Python farming could offer one of the most sustainable sources of meat in the world. How's that for symbolism when it comes to this satanic, you know, new world order? Now they want you literally to eat snake. Replace your chicken, beef with snake meat. Python produces large slabs of white meat similar to chicken fillet. So eat the bugs and the serpents. Scientists are learning more about what sources of meat could serve as more sustainable alternatives to beef, pork, and chicken. Python meat could offer a form of meat much less carbon intensive than the current options. These people are absolutely insane. Report now, no such thing as longer COVID, health agency says in shocking claim. Unnecessary fear. Tell us something that we don't already No. So again, long COVID doesn't exist. And if it does, you know, for me, from my point of view, that it was the COVID injections that gave you long COVID. So that is also interesting news. And of course, the Boeing whistleblower has come out now that he says, if anything happens to me, it's not suicide. So very reminiscent of the Gary Webbs of the world. You know, Gary Webb, the journalist in the 90s, they made the movie, I think, The Messenger with Jeremy, whatever his face is. He died from two self-inflicted gunshot wounds. And this Boeing whistleblower supposedly killed himself. He told a close family friend not to believe it if it was announced he had committed suicide. But, you know, this sort of stuff doesn't happen in America, only in Russia, China, you know, in those authoritarian countries. This would never happen in a place like the United Soviet States of America. We've also got Cyber Polygon cometh, as I remind you, daily massive Africa internet outage could take weeks to fix. So the disruption to the internet services for millions of users in Africa could take weeks or even months to fix following damage to undersea cables off the continent's west coast. What might they be doing in the meantime? Might they be installing some type of new system as they, quote, fix the internet that will better facilitate, you know, CBDCs and who knows what else? And things continue to decline here in the Americas. Pentagon commander says number of drones in U.S. airspace at Mexico border is alarming, over 1,000 incursions a month. So that is going on. The number of incursions was something that was alarming to me as I took command last month at Air Force General Gregory Gillett. So that is, you know, who knows who's sending those drones in? Probably the cartels just sending drugs over the border. Who knows? And this is a crazy story from someone who I've had on the show a number of times, Ken Silva from Headline USA. He dropped this a couple days ago. Capitol Hill Stormer, J6, right? Linked to satanic accelerationist cults. Basically, he says that one of the demonstrators, Riley Williams, was affiliated with the Satanic Network, which includes groups such as the Order of Nine Angles, 764, and CVLT. And that the Order of the Nine Angles was founded by a neo-Nazi militant linked to Operation Gladio. You know, have fun digging into that one at Headline USA. I'll have to talk, get Ken on to talk more about that. And again, just a sign of the decline of the U.S., Bloomberg reports today. Yeah, it was today. American debt stings like never before in new era for households. After years of managing household budgets through the stress of the worst inflation in a generation, U.S. families are increasingly pressured by a different kind of financial squeeze, the cost of carrying debt. Some of the people interviewed basically, say that it's becoming untenable. Someone says, I'm making the most money I've ever made, and I'm still living paycheck to paycheck. There's this wild disconnect between what people are experiencing and what economists are experiencing. All right. For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT website at tntradio.live and stay in touch on today's News Talk TNT.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio TNT.
Returning for their second time, I believe, this time in living color, are the Grammerica dudes, Darren and Graham, hosts and producers of the Grammerica podcast, which addresses some of the deeper, more controversial issues in our society. Some of the same stuff I like to touch on as well. Censorship, crimes against humanity, alternative health, suppressed science, and more. Their websites are grammerica.ca and grammericaoutlawed.ca. I've subscribed to all of their channels. I don't know what you're waiting for. Welcome back to TNT, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to see both of you. This time has been, I think it was like a year or two ago I had you on. I wanted to talk to you guys before it became illegal. You know, being up there in Canada, I'm hearing all this talk about the criminalization of speech and thought. How are things up there in FEMA Region 11, China, as I like to say?
Go ahead, Darren.
Falling apart, it seems like. I mean, it seems like falling apart would be the best way to describe it. Politically, it seems like there's a real chance that the prime minister could end up at least charged with something. I mean, the RCMP have admitted to having an open investigation against the prime minister of Canada. So I don't know. That's seemingly unprecedented, at least in my lifetime. You know, and a bunch of stuff that seemed like you could, and I'm not saying that they're not going to get away with it yet, but it just seems like a bunch of stuff that I didn't expect to be getting talked about in the House of Commons of Canada is getting talked about in the House of Commons in Canada, and it's getting harder to ignore. And I think that the reason we have to thank for that is shows like yours, shows like ours. I mean, and I think the real evidence of that is there's a podcast up in Canada called Northern Perspectives on YouTube. And they got mentioned in the House of Commons in the opening thing the other day. They're now going to be interviewing three conservative members of Congress that are on this committee. So it's like, it's almost like the, because in the States, I would argue it happened a while ago where you've got, you know, the Russell Brands, the Joe Rogans. You know, Joe Rogan's not spending a lot of time talking about Canadian politics, but he is spending a lot of time talking about U.S. politics. So you kind of get that other side in the alternative media. I'm not, you know, I don't know where I fall in on Joe Rogan. It kind of depends on the day. But there's these alternatives, you know, you got Crowder, you got all sorts of different shows, I guess. So the alternative, I guess, is a lot stronger in the U.S. than it has been in Canada. But it's coming. I can see it coming to Canada where these podcasts now, I mean, these guys are getting 50, 100,000 views on their videos in a couple of days. That's more than the CBC is getting. That's more than CTV News is getting, you know, and they're like trying to cram that down your throat. So I don't know. In some ways, I'm waiting for the collapse and preparing for it. And in other ways, I've kind of never been more optimistic about the future of the North. I'm not even going to call it Canada, because for the first time in my life, it seems like there's a real chance that I might live to see the end of this bitch. And as an Indian, that will be especially gratifying for me. I don't care if it goes to Republic of Alberta, if Alberta and Saskatchewan get together, I can see a future in which the Prairie provinces, you know, help join the U.S. and Alaska back together by going over to the USA, or I don't know, because the USA seems to be floundering in some ways as well. And I'm a huge proponent of the decentralization of everything. I think that these federal governments are where the, you know, if you, the founding fathers of your country, you're in the U.S., right? They never expected.
I'm in Mexico, but I'm a U.S. citizen. Yeah.
Yeah. They never expected the federal government to have the kind of powers it has now. It was never supposed to be like that. And, you know, I would argue in a lot of ways, Canada's, we'd all be better off if it was just the states with a way looser union than we've got now, but not like even the European Union seems kind of, it almost seems like those countries in the European Union have less power than the individual states have in some ways. So I don't know. I go back and forth on whether we're completely screwed. See how I didn't swear there, or whether you know, utopia is right around the corner. But either way is going to come with a lot of broken pieces. I think, you know, it's going to be, we kind of got to break it more before we can fix it.
So you're saying there's a chance, as Jim Carrey would say in
Dumb and Dumber. And I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. I wouldn't have thought that 2 years ago, but it's really like just, because I'm fine with it collapsing too. You know, I really feel like that's better than what we've got now.
Yeah, I mean, Graham, do you share the same perspective? And I'm like you guys, every day I go back and forth. And in some ways, I'm not afraid of whatever is coming, you know, and I'm at the point where like, I honestly don't, if it's Mad Max, you know, hey, it'll be kind of fun, you know, your further thoughts, Graham. And, you know, we hear about these bills that they want to criminalize speech. I forget the bill. I think you guys were talking about it. You get the MAID program as well. So if you're just feeling down, you can sign up to be democided. your further thoughts.
Well, I think that Darren's hitting the nail on the head there, but I think there's a kind of a schism happening here, because people, they're still on one hand pushing this globalist agenda, but now it's manifesting in our lives personally. Like, we're seeing it now affect our taxes, our economy, like, you know, the free speech that you mentioned, the medical stuff that happened a few years ago. Like, all of a sudden this is kind of like really close to us, where in Canada we were kind of sheltered a little bit before, you know, like the stuff really didn't, nobody really cared about politics because it really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't affecting you that bad. But now, like Darren said, that people are waking up. Some of the politicians are choosing these long form conversations now and going on sort of alternative media, like you guys have been doing in the States there for a little while. And I think that's causing, like, people aren't buying the globalist climate change narrative, but they're still pushing it. So we're going to see some real, I think, friction here for the next little while they double down on their sort of agenda, and everybody is getting, you know, they're waking up now because they can't afford their their bread. You know, they it's really hard to make ends meet in Canada right now. There's a housing, there's all kinds of problems. Like the government's ineptitude right now and corruption that's so obvious is waking more people up than COVID did, I think. It's almost getting that bad.
Yeah, and I'm also seeing that people are starting to see through a lot of this. I was mentioning about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was funny, the first book that my kid read to me in Spanish was The Emperor Has No Clothes. And so The Emperor Has No Clothes, I think, as you're pointing out, in Canada, for the globalists in the EU, wherever, but they continue to pretend and want us to play along. And I see people more and more just putting, spokes in their wheel. And so something's got to give at some point. It's time for our break. Again, people can subscribe to the Grammarica podcast at grammarica.ca, grammaricaoutlawed.ca. Find them on Twitter, Rumble, wherever you can find them. We'll be right back.
TNT's Mark Morano.
And there's a whole history of this idea that the establishment, the powers that be, the regime in power, likes the idea of a little eco-terrorism to keep the population hungry. I mean, if you think about it, their policies, government policies of the Great Reset, Net Zero, Climate Agenda, are quite literally eco-terrorism or a form of terrorism. It's, as Jesse Jackson used to say, it's economic violence, it's economic terrorism. Jesse Jackson used to say that about the Reagan administration. But in this case, it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, all to achieve and make us safer and give them more power under the auspices, if you will, of a crisis.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're talking to the Grammarica guys, Darren and Graham. Check out their podcast, which is awesome, grammarica.ca, grammaricaoutlawed.ca. And again, support independent media. You can subscribe to their stuff as well. And I was looking through some of your recent chats and stuff. I saw you were talking with Charlie Robinson. I got to hang out and Anthony Samaroff as well. I got to hang out with both of them in Acapulco. Was it last month? Yeah, at Anarchapulco. And so that was a lot of fun. And if you guys just want to let us know, what are the best websites? I always get confused. You got two of them, right?
Yeah, we've got grammarica.ca, which leads to everything, including our audiobook podcast, which is adultbrain.ca. And that goes to our other podcast, grammaricaoutlawed.ca as well.
All right. Yeah. And you mentioned podcasting getting bigger, and I think it is. I think people are listening primarily to things like podcasts. You know, there's another Canadian podcaster, Jason Levin. I asked him to come on, and his response was, come on my show. And so I went on, and I think next week I'm going to be again on Levin's show. And, you know, he's doing a lot of work as well. And something I heard you guys talking about recently in one of your broadcasts was carbon taxes again. And you're dealing with that, I guess, up in Canada. They're starting to talk about this stuff in different ways here in Mexico. Our governor, literally a few weeks ago, I'm here in Jalisco. He openly said, you know, last year was the first year in Mexico here that we really had to do the vehicle emissions test. Up until last year, like, you just drive your car or whatever, doesn't matter. And last year they were like, we're seriously going to, the cops are going to fine you if you don't do the test. And the governor said the goal of it is to disincentivize you to drive your car. And one of my friends here in Mexico, an older lady, her car didn't pass the test. So technically, she's not supposed to drive it. And so, again, this the goal is to strip us of our transport, mobility, and all that. But it seems like, again, Canada seems to be, and, you know, my banking app last year, they updated the banking app here in Mexico. And now it has a carbon sort of tracker. So they want to track our spending, our energy. So it seems like they're beginning to deploy these systems. I don't know how long it's going to take to put it all together, if they will succeed. But, you know, any other thoughts you have on this, on the carbon taxes and the green agenda and the social credit system and all that?
The problem with the carbon taxes, it's the one that everyone agrees on to some extent. I mean, or at least, I mean, Pierre, our opposition. So I guess I'll start by saying I don't think the carbon tax is going to be around a whole lot longer. I mean, I predict we're going to have an election soon, probably by summer. But I also predicted some other predictions that have not come true. So don't take my word for it. But at the latest, we're having an election next year, next fall. And I don't see a situation at this point in which there's not a changing of the guard. And the opposition right now is 100% because Canada's had it with the carbon tax. Because now, and I can go back and I go back and forth on this one too, because listen, I got all day to talk about all the malevolence and ruling parties and the elites and all that and the thing. But I honestly think that these guys just weren't smart enough to think of the downstream effects of the tax. I mean, it's easy to just say, oh yeah, well, we'll just throw this $60 a ton. It's not that much. And not only that, they kind of introduced it because we kind of voted for it. You know, I didn't, Graham didn't, but on Canadian majority knew it was coming when they voted it. But when they voted it, we were all doing way better. You know, we didn't have inflation to deal with. We hadn't dealt with COVID yet. And, you know, an extra $800 a year or $1,000 a year didn't seem like a big deal. And then you were going to get these rebates back they told you about, and that was going to kind of flesh it all out. So it was going to end up that most people were getting back at least what they were spending. And, you know, I think I get $1,800 this year, maybe $1,400 or something. I can't remember, in carbon rebates, which is, you know, about what I'll spend this year. Well, now it's going to be less, but that's less than what I'll spend this year just on heat and power for my home. So that before we get into filling up my vehicle with fuel or anything else, just for my natural gas and my electricity, you know, I will probably spend that whole thing at least, and maybe a little bit more, but at a minimum, let's, for the sake of the argument,
on carbon tax.
That carbon rebate is, yeah, as a line item. It's a line item on my utility bill. It's not, it's hidden in the electric. You can't see it because they say electricity is carbon neutral. So I don't have to pay a carbon tax on electricity. But 88% of the power in Alberta is generated by coal or natural gas. So whoever is making that electricity for me before they send it to me, where I now have all these distribution charges and delivery charges that equal more than my actual electricity usage bill for the month does, but they're paying it. So even these people who think they're helping out by charging their electric car and they're not going to pay carbon, yes, you are. You're going to pay the carbon tax because the companies that are making the electricity for you are paying it out the ass when they buy the natural gas from the natural gas producers or the coal providers that are making this stuff. So At a minimum, let's say for the sake of the argument that I'm breaking even on the carbon tax and on the, at least on the home heating. So that's like, oh, it's, you know, it's 8 cents a liter of gasoline, not a big deal. All right, whatever. I can even maybe get on board with that. But what, and this is where you can go either way. Did they mean to do it or did they mess it up? And I would argue that they messed it up because now they wanted to slip it in and still maintain power. I think I really think that they didn't mean to mess it up this badly, where and I honestly think there is enough room for this much ineptness in our current ruling class that they just didn't think about that when the warehouse and the grocery store and the truck driver and all these people have to pay for the extra gasoline. So anything that's shipped, you're now paying an extra 15 cents a liter on, 30 cents if it's diesel, for every liter of everything that goes anywhere by a truck in Canada or by a train or by a plane. And then anything that's stored in a warehouse, they're paying now an extra 20 or 30% to heat the warehouse or cool the warehouse, whatever they have to do. So they're paying it. The farmer's paying extra for fuel. The farmer's paying extra for this. So it's just every step of the way, you're adding 3 or 4%. And that 3 or 4% is compounding to a doubling of our essentials. You know, everything you need to buy in the grocery store costs twice as much now. And it's because of the carbon tax. They keep trying to blame other things, but it's because of the carbon tax. And Canadians have caught on to that. Canadians have caught on because, you know, these liberals could have done anything. What you can't do is mess with people's pocketbooks too much. When they're broke, they've had enough. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who the government is. When people are broke, it's time for a change.
But it's infuriating that they put this thing in. They couch it as in like you're getting this rebate. They actually talk like that on the mainstream. And these liberal politicians especially, and I don't even want to make it about left or right because I think Darren and I both don't trust, you know, the right yet as well. I mean, they're just going to maybe slow things down a little bit and stall things when they come in next. But they couch it as if it's a rebate. Like, oh, people are going to get money back. Well, yeah, there might be a small percentage of people to get some extra money back because the other people that were making a decent amount had to fund that. So it's a transfer. It's a wealth transfer. But, you know, the administration costs for all this as well. I mean, it's just such an inefficient process. And then where's the carbon tax going, right? Where is all this money going? I mean, especially when you don't buy into the climate change agenda. Like, we should be fixing real pollution problems, not, you know, taxing carbon. So it's a mess, and hopefully people are waking up. But the other thing I wanted to say before I forget is when Darren talked about these long form conversations and these podcasts having politicians on, now again, not this being about left or right, but you know that the left has always had the media on their side, and they've always had these edited things and the narrative. It doesn't matter. Like, they have scripted questions. They already know what's going to be asked. They're used to this nice little polished propaganda products being put out. They can't have long form conversations with people. But I think that at least the conservatives or the you know, whatever you want to call it in Canada, I mean, I think they at least are stepping up and saying, well, yeah, we can have some long form conversations. Like Daniel Smith, one of our premiers, had a chat with, I think, who was that with, Darren? Was it with Jordan Peterson or somebody? But I mean, that's pretty rare to see a Canadian politician, I think, like having a long form conversation. But it does seem like it's only one side that's going to be willing to do that or be able to do that.
Well, you can find Trudeau form, but it's just with his buddies all the time. It's with his buddies. Nobody's.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on the carbon stuff. That's why I like living here in Mexico, is listening to you guys talk about the costs. And I calculate, I have to buy gas only for cooking and heating my water. And a year here in Mexico is like maybe $200 a year. My water is $50 a year, and electricity like $200 to $300 a year. And so that's about it for energy. We're going to have to jump to our 1 minute headline. We'll be right back.
News.
There is a difference.
What's on the schedule for today?
A little less yappity yap and a little more
news.
Yay.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade has stepped down from his role in the Georgia case against former President Donald Trump, which also involves 18 other defendants. Florida state authorities confirmed the apprehension of a boat carrying 24 illegal Haitian immigrants, including 5 children, near Sebastian Inlet on February 29th. Denmark is significantly expanding its conscription requirements by more than doubling the mandatory service period, introducing conscription for women, and increasing the number of young people called up.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right, the websites again, grimerica.ca, grimericaoutlawed.ca, and follow Darren and Graham on all their channels and support independent work. As we've been discussing, we are having an impact. We are pushing back against the waves of tyranny. And some folks in the chat say, heard these guys ages ago on No Agenda Stream. Great stuff. And also, for me, someone says, still think Kurway has the best show on TNT. Thank you. And I wanted to ask you guys as well, what are, you know, like what we do here, what I do, what you guys do, we cover a broad swath of topics. And in this moment, you know, my biggest thing is the digital sort of technocracy. They're bringing in digital ID, CBDCs, these controls. You know, I'm still shocked that the Department of Homeland Security found me important enough to ban from PayPal 2 years ago and stuff like that. But what that's my biggest fear, this sort of algorithm ghetto. But what are some of the biggest topics on your guys' plates these days that you're most interested in or freaked out about?
Darren, you want to go first?
Well, probably the transgender stuff. I mean, because I have kids, so that's the thing that worries me the most. Luckily, I live in one of the places. Well, not one of the places. I mean, it seems like the world's waking up, and that's some good news. I think England just announced yesterday or the day before, puberty blockers are now a thing of the past, and they had already went away with the surgeries, I believe, for anyone who wasn't an adult. So Europe's coming around, Alberta's coming around, but that's a scary one because it's not whether or not the state's going to allow it. The fact that they're curious about it is kind of a problem, isn't it? I mean, it's this weird thing where we never used to have this conversation about whether boys were boys or girls were girls, or if anyone was born in the wrong body or what was going on there. I mean, so that's probably the most worrying thing to me, because it's rough on the kids. It's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I mean, even here in Mexico now, Mexican congressmen have been convicted by the government for calling a man a man. There's another politician in Mexico who's a man dressing up as a woman, trans, whatever. And two other congressmen, one male, one female, tweeted calling this man who thinks he's a woman a man. And now they've been forced to, like, every day or once a month on Twitter say, I'm sorry. And they have to take re-education courses. Like, in Mexico, you would think, you know, people think this stuff is not going to happen in, like, Mexico. And, you know, it's only Canada, Europe, and U.S. And it's spreading. You know, I go to the Walmart. I told this before last year, the local Walmart here in Mexico, looking for toys for my kids sometimes. And I'm concerned like you, you being a father as I am. And there was a Mickey Mouse puzzle that had the whole trans LGBT flag and a description in Spanish, specifically, you know, promoting this ideology with the kids who are going to buy these Mickey Mouse puzzle. And then they had a Kleenex box with the LGBT flag, and I'm pushing my kid along and she grabs the Kleenex box. Oh, wow, look at these colors. And I take it and I put it right back down. And it's like, this is a kid. And, you know, they're sexualizing. My kid has nothing, doesn't even think about this stuff. Why should she be thinking about this stuff at this age? And so I don't know if you have any other thoughts on the whole, as I like to call it, LGBTQ plus to infinity, Graham.
No, I think that's about it. I mean, there's interesting stuff coming out with the WPATH files. We talked about it on our Outlawed show last night, I think, or two nights ago, where, you know, that you can see these professionals, these doctors in the world, the organization for all this, how they can't get informed consent from the kids. Like, they're trying to explain here how the kids don't understand about orgasms and having kids and being pregnant. And, like, it just doesn't even clue into them that, like, so they don't understand biology enough to give informed consent about their future sterilization but they can go ahead with these procedures. Like, it's really kind of mind blowing. So I really do think it's like a weird social contagion that I think is, as I think it's past the peak stage right now, hopefully.
Yeah, that's Have you guys had on? I've talked to him. He's doing great work. Other Canadian, Simon Essler.
Yes, a couple times. He's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, he digs into some of that stuff. And I'm curious as to your opinion. I didn't get to watch it because that was in the second half for subscribers only of your recent chat. The whole wellness company stuff with Amazing Polly. And I don't know what to think. My conclusion so far is that I don't trust the wellness company. But I feel like Amazing Polly has also kind of been too zealous, and she's kind of acting like a chaos agent. You know, in general, she's done good work. How do you see that whole deal?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I'll go first on this one because I've sort of been following a little bit more, because I was supporting the wellness company at first because I thought, well, hey, at least the company's coming forward with supplements that seem to be good. They're for the detox, like even their emergency kit. Like, what is wrong with that, right? What is wrong with a company coming out sort of an alternative to the pharma, right? I mean, now whether it gets co-opted later on down the road or not, I mean, who knows, like everything else does. I mean, lots of stuff gets co-opted, but I kind of liked it. I was sort of pushing it, but we were never like sponsors or anything. But the problem I have with it is, you know, is from like sort of a marketing perspective, or a, you know, if somebody sees an opportunity for a new business, right, and they're putting a bunch of money in it for marketing and for all that, like, so what, right? These connections that she makes, what frustrates me is like, so if a guy works for Black, so how many people work for Blackwater? Back like 10,000, 5,000, 10,000 people work for Black. So they're all compromised. Like, so once you work for a company, you can't change your mind after COVID, like everybody's tainted forever because of their relationships. Like, I want to see direct evidence of tomfoolery with these guys, right? I don't want to just see, oh, well, he hung around with him in Haiti and he financed that, and hit, you know, yeah, there's some creepy sort of relationships there, but that doesn't mean the whole thing is what it is. So, you know, it gets a bit, yeah, I don't know, man. It's kind of scary. I feel like she's just, and now she's going back and saying, oh, no, they're attacking me and doxing me. Well, you've been attacking everybody too. So, I mean, I guess maybe that she didn't give them their address at all. And I mean, I don't know who, I heard two different stories about who doxed her, but I just think this stuff is all this infighting. I just don't like it. I mean, it just, we're allowed to have these other opinions, and we're allowed to have business partners that might have might have changed their mind in the past. It's super. It's like, you know what, Steve Poikkanen from AM Wake Up says, controlled opportunity. And I almost think it's more of like, okay, there's an opportunity for a business. And if you have billions of dollars and you're a successful businessman and you've done contracts for the government, you're going to have some contacts. Of course you are. And you might have, and what's wrong with injecting a bunch of money into marketing and into if you're creating a business, like, so why is that controlled op right now? Why does everybody think that's a controlled op? Maybe it is, but there needs to be more evidence of that. Darren?
Yeah, it's we got to jump to our break, but we can get Darren's thoughts on the other side. Again, the website's grimerica.ca, grimericaoutlawed.ca. You can find all the socials, the podcasts, and all that there. There's the Substack as well. We'll be right back.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care. For life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is him. Every day he's hungry for something. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. It's okay to make mistakes as long as it's coming from love, then it kind of starts to work itself out.
You're with Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is our final segment here with Darren and Graham from Grammerica.ca, GrammericaOutlaw.ca, another great alternative podcast, independent podcast out there with a Canadian perspective. And we were just talking about the whole wellness company stuff. And, you know, in general, this infighting and alternative or independent media, I've never done it myself. When I see it, I just kind of, I'm not really interested in it. I'm just like, okay, guys, I'm going to go do something more productive. But I think there's different categories of alternative media as I see it. There are people, you know, I think like us trying to do our best. It's difficult, you know, environment financially. And then there are others that get tempted by the grift, right? And then some that are just flat out, I think, egotistical, you know, narcissists. And then I think no one can deny that there must be government, you know, infiltration in some of the, you know, alt media, as Lenin and others, the famous quotes, you know, you lead the opposition, Operation Trust, all that sort of stuff. And then I don't know if you any thoughts on that. And Darren, if you have any opinion on the whole wellness company, Amazing Polly thing.
Well, I'll just quickly say, I mean, I did like Polly's work for a while. I think some of those connections are important too. I just think that we have to be careful that we don't make a bunch of spurious connections that like without sort of evidence that there's something nefarious there. Like it's just, you know, anyways, Darren, what do you think?
Well, I don't know enough about it to comment a whole bunch, but I do know that, you know, I don't want to get too much into this because I think she's a little unhinged. And you know what? I'm not even going to go any further than that. But there's this thing that can happen to you when you're doing what we're doing that you can get in too deep. And I've been there personally. I mean, we almost got into some drama years and years ago, you know, for making some comments on the show about other shows and whether they were, you know, co-opted, you know, and then we were idiots at that time. And I don't even know if Graham was into it, but I was into it. I mentioned it on the show and it caused some ripples, and I'm not going to bring any of it up to cause any more ripples. And it was a buddy, you know, and now we're even closer than ever as friends now, but it was just at that point where you start thinking that everything's an op, you know, and that's honestly where it was at. It was like, you know, even these guys that I know, it was like, oh yeah, well they're into it too. And you know, this is, yes, yeah, you can get in too deep. And I think when you, and I don't know that Polly has, I might be speaking out of turn on this, maybe Graham comment more too, but if you get into the point where you're not, where you don't have a day job anymore, and this is all you're doing all day, you can go maybe days or days and days without getting up from your internet, and you're like on Twitter all day, and you're on YouTube all day, and you're on all this stuff all day chasing the next thing down. I mean, I got into that, dude, when the Trump thing was going down and we're waiting for everyone to get arrested and unseal the indictments. And, you know, I got to catch myself. I'm in a parking lot downtown watching YouTube videos, live streams of bullshit at the end of, pardon my language, at the end of the day. You know, it's just like, It's stealing my attention because I'm sucked into this thing. And the politics is a big one because everyone gets sucked into it, but you can get sucked into anything. You can get, when you spend all day on this little Black Mirror thing, you can have yourself convinced that all sorts of things are real, including like health problems, or you could give yourself cancer. You know, if you can do more than you think, metaphysically for one, but even without that, you can just mess yourself up by being like, you're in too deep. That's a good way of putting it. You're just like looking for these conspiracies all day. And it's like, not everything's a conspiracy. And Graham and I get tangled up in that in ourselves, where it's like, we got to like set each other straight sometimes, where it's like, and it's funny because we switched sides on that sometimes. Sometimes it's like, Graham's like, okay, buddy. And then other times I'm like, all right, man, trust the plan, bro. And you know, we've had these neat little back and forths over the decade plus we've been podcasting, where you get caught up in something. And every time you do, every friggin' time you do, you end up making an ass of yourself. And, you know, we've done it publicly more than once. And one of them was the trust the plan to a certain extent. And then we got warp speeded.
And unfortunately, something else. There's a bunch of small podcasters, like she calls them micro podcasters. Like, we know how hard it is, whether we're doing corporate sponsorships or value for value or paywalls. It is hard. We're in the top 5%, 0.5, top 0.5% of podcasts. And we can barely make a living off it. Like, barely. Not even. If it wasn't for our audiobooks, I'd be working a full-time job still. So we know how hard it is. So all these people that maybe got a little bit of money from selling some TWC stuff, which to me would be, you know, like a sponsor that if we were ever to do sponsors, we would probably pick something like that. And now they're now what's happening to them, right? They're being attacked and it just sucks. The downstream of this is probably not worth the unveiling of the connections that, you know, maybe aren't there.
Yeah, and what you said is so true.
Sorry to interrupt, but you can't find sponsors in this space. No one's going to sponsor our show. Nobody's interested, period. So we've found the content, the audiobooks that are responsible. They can go on YouTube and stuff like that, but there's no ad revenue for the Grime America show. There's not. So in the beginning, we used to do little things before we decided to go value for value because we realized there was no money in any, you know, you try and do an Amazon affiliate link because that might make you some money. That was the thing for a while, 10 years ago. No one does that anymore. And then after that, there was the Audible affiliate thing where if you get someone to sign up for Audible, you get $20. Now, if you go back and listen to our old episodes, we're talking about the different ways to try and make a buck. At that point, we're talking about making our first buck, not like a living. We're trying to make, how can we monetize this thing in any capacity? At that time, costs. Remember, 10 years ago, there wasn't like MemberPress plugins and stuff like that. Like even going and doing a membership-based podcast wasn't as easy as it is these days. So, you know, if someone goes and listens to our old episodes and hears us saying, no, maybe sign up for this Audible link we've got, does that mean we're misinformation or we're the other guys or we're co-opted or is it that, you know, the wellness company was just one company that's willing to advertise on alternative people talking about, you know, the jibbity jab and things like that. Because there's no one else. There's not another option, as far as I can tell. But you guys have sponsors. How hard is it?
Well, I mean, even TNT faces some difficulties. But, you know, I also have my podcast, Geopolitics and Empire. And I didn't even know William Ramsey, who's a friend of mine. You guys had William Ramsey on. I hung out with him last year. I met him in L.A. when I was out there. And he told me my podcast is also in the top 0.5%. And as you say, you know, I'm lucky that I'm here in Mexico, where, as I mentioned, my costs are much lower. And so I can sort of survive, right, on my podcast alone. And as you guys mentioned, the whole environment has shifted. You know, I had a guest on, J. Michael Waller, on my podcast, former CIA, who's now speaking out against the woke deep state. I tried to leave him a book review a month ago, and this is the first time it happened. Amazon denied it, and they said it's hate speech. And it's like, what? And then they said if I do it again, they'll like ban me from Amazon community. Like, you can't even leave a book review now. I'm banned from PayPal and Patreon, and I'm on one strike on YouTube again. Substack seems to be, you know, NX sort of seemed to be one of the last lines of defense and unhinged. I think that's the key word that you said there when you referenced Pauly. And, you know, I tend to stay away from people that get unhinged. You know, there's this guy called Brendan O'Connell. Maybe you've heard of him, and he gives some interesting insights, but people tell me interview him, but he's kind of unhinged, you know, and I tend to stay away from people that are unhinged. You know, I was on Dan Fournier's, another Canadian, Dan Fournier. I was on his podcast. He just started one. And someone in his Substacks referring to me says, I don't trust this Croatian guy because, you know, he doesn't believe the earth is flat, or he doesn't believe viruses don't exist. I'm like, what? Or I got an email. I interviewed David Stockman, right? Ronald Reagan's budget director. And, you know, I'll talk to everyone. It's Ronald Reagan's budget director. And one of my listeners sends me an email today say, he's controlled opposition. Why you talk to David Stockman? And I'm like, come on, it's exactly what you're talking about. And I'm just curious if you guys have had this feeling. I was looking at some of the people you've been interviewing And it's, you know, Joaquim Hagopian. I talk to him regularly. Etienne Boissier Squared. I've hung out with him at Greater Reset. You know, Tammy Kerrigan, I was just talking with him to get him on. And do you guys feel that it's kind of getting saturated now in the podcasting and alt media space, where to the point where it wasn't even just a few years ago, where, you know, I look at my podcast, I look at yours, and we're starting to see more and more of the same guests on? Any further thoughts on the indie media space?
It seems like it, but it's not. And the reason is that out of all these podcasts, and we just had the guy on, we just had the guy to ask, Adam Curry, the Podfather, podcasting 2.0, now helped Steve Jobs put the Apple Podcast Directory together, and now has, I mean, his partner jokes about it, but I think he does deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for this eventually, because he has basically taken this entire podcast list over the last several years and outsourced it and built an open source directory that is not going to be able to be, at least with the current technology, can't be shut down. But the point of that is that he's running this directory, so he can tell you how many of the, and it's identical to the iTunes directory, because he's scraped and scraped and scraped. So you don't have to have submitted. They've scraped and taken the RSS feeds from everything that's in Apple, which feeds everything. You know, people need to understand that Apple kind of feeds 90% of every podcast app that's out there is grabbing from the Apple directory. Well, now there's a bunch of new apps that are grabbing from this other directory, and there's a bunch of old apps that are grabbing from both. But anyway, it's open source. And the point is that I think he said there's 4 million shows, but if you go down to 90 days, that number goes down to 400,000 shows that have posted in the last 90 days. And if you go down to shows that have posted in the last 30 days, it goes down another order of magnitude, or down to 100,000. I'd have to listen. If you listen to our show with Adam Curry, we specifically, he breaks down what those numbers are, but you get down to under 100,000 active podcasts.
But the thing is, what's changed, I think.
I'll finish with the other stat that I heard years ago on Libsyn, and that's how we got into the conversation. It turned out to be right. Is that over 90% of all podcasts never get past episode 7. That's the magic number, is episode 7. And the funny thing is, we had a buddy who started a show, and the last episode was number 7.
I think the main change, though, is now, like back in the day in 2013, 14, we would be the ones that would be interviewing researchers, because they wouldn't have their own platforms. But now everybody has their own platform. All the researchers have their own platform. All the writers of the books have their own platforms if they want it, right? It's that easy now. It's that sort of ubiquitous that now we're not the only, like, we're, you know, people like us that don't do, like, you know, we do, we're interview style. You know, we're competing with the people themselves now in some ways.
Yeah, that's true. But it's still a lot of fun. There's still so much to do in this space. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it, right? We're 2.5 minutes to midnight. If you guys have any other thoughts, final thoughts, 2024, what are you expecting? Cyber Polygon, World War III, we're all gonna sing, hold hands and sing Kumbaya, the new age of Aquarius. Any final thoughts?
I think the pendulum's already swinging back the other way. So people just, my advice would be to calm down and just try and get along and enjoy the pendulum coming back. We can see it coming on the transgender stuff. It's gonna come on everything. It's gonna slowly come on everything. But enjoy the middle for a while, because it's going to go to the right next, and it's going to go too far to the right. And if history tells us one thing, is the right tends to be a little more organized and a little better at authoritarianism than the left is. And the left is getting pretty good at it. So, you know, let's enjoy the next decade or two as it swings back towards the right. Hopefully it takes that long, because things seem to be accelerating. But the pendulum's going to come back. And it's going to come back too far. So when you think you're winning, just remember, just be careful what you wish for, because it's going to go back too far the other way. The other big thing is, people should check out our audiobooks, because they can get them for free if they're a Spotify member and they're US based or UK based, and you're a Spotify premium member. You can go to addlebrain.ca and click on the Spotify button. And if you have premium, you can listen to all the books for free. They're just there. And we get paid per minute that you listen. So it supports us, and you get them for free. And the other way people can get those books for free is they can go to addlebrain.ca and click on the YouTube button, where they're not all out yet. They're slowly coming out, and they've got commercials in them, obviously, because that's the YouTube monetization model. So people can go there, addlebrain, and get all those audiobooks for free if they need a break from the craziness.
And the trips, too.
Put it in the background and let it replay. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, the eclipse too. I mean, we're not sort of stopping in 2024. We got a bunch of trips. We got one with Randall coming up too, the Washington Scablands in May. We have the eclipse in April. So yeah, I'm going to Cosmic Summit in June. So there's a bunch of trips too. You can go to contact@thecabin.com for that stuff.
All right. Always great to chat with you guys. Grammerica.ca, GrammericaOutlawed.ca. Enjoy the rest of the Ides of March, guys.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Good to see you again. Have a great one.
You too. Keep up the great work. I will be right back after this break.